It might surprise you, some of you, to learn that the New Bedford National Whaling Historical Park has an artist-in-residence program. They've been doing it for a while, and I understand the current artist-in-residence kept working during the federal government shutdown. We will talk to her about that. Alex Houston, she joins us this morning to talk about the program and her experience at the National Park. So, Alex, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
For those who may not know, I may be one of them, what is the Artist in Residence Program? What is that all about?
So the Artist in Residence Program is an opportunity for local artists or artists in other places to come to New Bedford and work out of the maker space in the National Historical Park Visitor Center. Yep. Have open studio hours, engage with the community, and to work on an art project during that three-month period and present it in their gallery space for about a month.
And I understand this is like a three-month thing. It's not a, you don't do it for a year, you don't do it for 2 years, it's 3 months.
Exactly. So they have four artists a year come in for different parts of the year. Mm-hmm. And it's an opportunity to sort of use those 3 months to do programming, engage with AHA Night, and then end up, whether it's a work in progress or a completed work, but sharing that at the end of it.
Okay. So what made you apply? I mean, this isn't a full-time job. There's a small stipend that goes with it, but it isn't permanent.
Right.
Yes. And I know that every artist in the world looks for something that they can grab a hold of, sink their teeth into, and say, this is mine, and I can do this for a period of time. This is not that. This is a three-month designation. So what made you apply?
So it was sort of the perfect residency for me. I had been working on this project on my own in my house for a few years. Mm-hmm. And had been talking to different people, but really needed the time and space to actually finish it, to not just work on it in the floor of my house and to have the motivation and the space to be able to invite people in to talk with me and share more about the project. My project is also very related to the history of New Bedford. So doing the residency at the National Historical Park made a lot of sense.
So we haven't mentioned what the project is. It is the Quilt Project.
Yes.
And it deals with urban renewal.
Exactly. So I'm not even sure where I got the idea for this project, but I had been working on making quilts, and I'd also been really interested in the history of New Bedford, specifically in the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. Why New Bedford looks the way it is today. And my project is creating a textile map of every block of New Bedford. Every block is a different piece of fabric stitched together, and where urban renewal, specifically highways, came through, I'll be cutting the quilt and the fabric will be shredded in those areas,
okay.
Revealing black fabric beneath it. And I'm hoping it sort of shows the scale of urban renewal in New Bedford and draws attention to some communities that no longer exist and some neighborhoods that once were here and no longer are. And the people who lived in those communities, the ones who are still here today, are still in New Bedford, but they're not able to be in that neighborhood anymore.
Yeah, and it was, I'm sure it was controversial. You asked me what my experiences were before we get on the air here. I wasn't here. I was went to work after high school. I went to college after high school, and then I went to work. Then I joined the Army, and after that put us in the early 70s, and I went back to work in New Hampshire and found myself coming back here in like 1973. And by then, it was all done.
Yep.
Urban renewal, the rebuild, or tearing down, if you will, whichever point of view you want to take, had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it was completed, and the city looked different.
For sure. In 1966, 1967, at least for the South Terminal part of the project, that's when the houses were all being acquired by the New Bedford Redevelopment Authority.
Mm-hmm.
People who owned the property were paid some amount of money, perhaps not quite what the house was worth, but some amount of money. And if you were a tenant, you were relocated. You were moved somewhere else. And then by the early 70s, the properties were demolished. Some of them were replaced with highways. A lot of it was a vacant lot that they were looking for industries to come in and buy up. But you'll still look around at some of the places that were destroyed and you wonder, why is it still sitting there with just one shed in it, you know? So it's it was a large-scale project, and it certainly helped the fishing industry. And it meant that New Bedford had faster transportation, but I think there were a lot of unintended consequences, too.
So why did you pick this subject? I mean, you didn't live through it. You're a young woman. You had a number of subjects to pick, I'm sure, or at least think about. Why this one?
So I moved to New Bedford about 5 years ago, and that was during peak COVID times. I was doing a lot of walking, and a question I had is just like how the city, the downtown, is so divided from the water. I think a lot of people have that question.
Sure.
As they're
a
in
lot
downtown.
Of people who are trying to solve that.
Yes,
that question,
yes,
still.
And it feels sort of painful. You try to cross the water, and you're like, oh, why am I crossing this multi-lane highway? And so I think that's sort of what started the question. I think in my head, I thought that maybe at one point all of New Bedford was this cute little fishing village and, you know, those houses led up to the waterway. And that was never the case. New Bedford has always had a fishing past and has had industry and factories right up to the water. But there was a lot more housing. There were a lot more neighborhoods. There were churches and schools that were within that area that just no longer exists anymore. And so as I started learning more about the history, as I was driving and walking around, I started almost seeing like the ghosts of the buildings and the houses and the schools, and just trying to figure out how to visualize that on a large scale. I started just making, you know, a paper map of it, and ended up settling on fabric as being a good medium. One, because I work with fabric, but two, you can really see the layers. You can see what it used to be and what it is now, and you can rip and you can add, and it's very, it works well for showing place.
Did you do any research to kind of give you a better, a better look, frankly, at some of these neighborhoods? Would the, I don't know what your sources might be, Spinner publications, maybe you start
Spinner
there.
Has, yeah, incredible photographs. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of research, probably more research than I needed to do for the project. I relied a lot on a 1959 telephone directory that was very helpful to figure out what was located on each block. So a lot of the addresses changed, though, so you can't totally trust that the address, sure, the street number is the same as today. I talked mm-hmm. to residents who lived there or who had family who lived there. And I'm also using New Bedford Redevelopment Authority primary source documents. So I'm looking at the houses one by one that were destroyed and the correspondence with the owner, how much money they were paid for it, who refused to sign over their house and it had to be taken to court and by eminent domain, and who was willing to take the offer immediately. Sure. So I think I've had a huge, again, probably more research than I needed to do, but I also was just fascinated by the topic.
Okay, one more question about the quilt, because we've kind of gotten away from
the residency.
the residency. Have you finished it?
No, but it will be finished, I hope, by the opening reception, which is Thursday, December 11th, which is Aha Night in December. And the reception will be 5 to 7. And I will be showing the quilt, whether it's done or not, but it'll be hopefully 99% done by then.
All right. Sounds exciting, really. You're listening to Town Square Sunday. I'm Jim Phillips. My guest is Alex Houston, finishing up her term as artist in residence at the New Bedford Whaling National Historical Park. What were some of the projects you did as the artist in residence, besides the quilt, which is a noteworthy project, I think, for a look back at New Bedford's history. But what other things did you do?
Yeah, so I, so the government was shut down for the first month and a half of my project. So the Fishing Heritage Center actually hosted me for the October AHA night. They had an artist coming in that was sick, and so they were able to host me. And I shared historical aerial maps of New Bedford, and I gave a art talk on my project. And about 30 people attended who almost all had a really interesting story to share, whether they like lived through it or had a piece of the history to tell me about afterwards. But it was a really great event. So thank you to the Fishing Heritage Center for hosting me during that. And then I'm working on some embroidery projects that show individual houses that were demolished. So my quilt sort of shows us the large scale of demolition, but I also want to look at the more individual aspect too.
Did you work with youngsters? Did you work with kids?
I did not, but I know a lot of other artists in residence programs have, and I'm hoping that some kids will come to the opening reception because I think my project is very colorful. It's very visually appealing, I hope. I have a baby that loves to look at fabric, so
there you go.
Welcome any kids to attend.
All right. So a little bit about yourself. You moved here 5 years ago. Where were you? Where did you start out your career? Where did you go to school? Some of those questions.
Yeah, well, so I feel like in New Bedford, this is funny to say because a lot of people seem to want to move to Florida, but I grew up born and raised in Orlando, Florida. First job was at Disney, so I am from Orlando. I ended up going to college on the West Coast and then moved back to the East Coast after college, where my now husband was from, and lived in the Boston area for a bit, lived in Providence for a bit, had some horrible commutes, and my job went remote during COVID. So I have moved to New Bedford in 2020. And I've been doing art sort of that whole time. It's not as my full-time job. I took a certificate class at RISD that was really helpful, that I learned a lot from. And yeah, I've sort of settled into New Bedford as my home. I had a baby here last year, and it's been great.
What do you think about New Bedford as an arts community compared to other places that you've lived?
I think New Bedford has probably one of the most open and welcoming art communities of any place I've lived. DAPMA, New Bedford Creative, UMass Dartmouth College of Visual and Performing Arts, they were all part of this residency, but they're also just incredible organizations that make it very easy to engage. I've also been going to the monthly, they're called Artist Share meetups since I started this project, and they've been really helpful and motivating to help me continue this project. And these are free monthly meetups that people just talk about their artwork. And I don't think there are that many places where that have something like that, and that it's so easy to get support and encouragement and ideas. So it's been great.
Applications for the first quarter, artists in residence, are due December 1st. And I understand there hasn't been an overwhelming response so far. Why do you think that is? Probably be a lot of reasons. Maybe it's folks feel there's a lot of time you have to put in compared to the money that you receive, or whatever. I don't know. Maybe there's a 3-month thing. Some people, we've acknowledged that, I think. But it's the Artist in Residence program isn't for everybody, probably, but it is, I think, a way to get involved with the arts community.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think, it's certainly not the most lucrative thing to do.
Right.
But I think that for anyone who has a project that they want the space, and especially the gallery space, the gallery that they have in the visitor center is beautiful, beautiful light that comes in. And so I think, I hope that more people apply, because I think it is just a great opportunity to finish a project, to start a project, and to have the space to do it. That's such a need for artists, is having that space. And the National Park Visitor Center is beautiful.
Yeah. And I think that you've just kind of answered the next question, is what would you recommend the program to other artists and why? And I think you would. It's just going to be the right fit for people. Is that
Yeah. And I mean, I think I had an unusual residency given that the center was closed. But now that it's open, in my interactions with the park rangers, they're incredibly welcoming group of people who are excited and want to make your project work. And so they've been really great to work with, and I'm so excited to actually be able to move into the studio there and to move out of working on the floor of my house. and I think my husband will be happy to
what
have all the bits of fabric gone.
What will you take away from your three-month residency, Alex?
So hopefully I will take away the completed quilt project. And I also just made a lot of connections with other artists and art organizations. And I'm excited to continue those connections and collaborations going forward.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, my guest has been Alex Houston, finishing up her term as artist in residence at the New Bedford Whaling National Historical Park. Alex, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having
and
me.
And good luck with your future artistic endeavors.
I appreciate it.
And with the
it.
Quilt, I hope that's a big success on the 11th as well, December 11th.
Yeah, come check it out.
That's it for Town Square Sunday. Thanks for listening. Thanks also to Mike Roberts and Tim Weisberg for their help in getting this program on the air and on our social media sites. I'm Jim Phillips. Join me next week for Town Square Sunday. Until then, have a wonderful Sunday and a joyful Thanksgiving.